I'm going to describe work that's ongoing, we don't have data yet, but we will soon, at Caltech, and this is a short list of the people who deserve credit. So you've just heard very convincing arguments for why we should be concerned with thermal noise. The big problem with thermal noise is we don't really have a good understanding of how big it is. So LIGO has created a program called a thermal noise interferometer to specifically measure thermal noise independent of other problems. The big things we're looking at are Brownian motion. Brownian motion comes about when the mirror recoils against its internal phonons. And it's related to the quality factor. The bigger the quality factor, the less noise you have. Typical values are 10 to the 6 to 10 to the 8 for a good material. It also depends on the spot size. Thermoelastic damping is the new one, and I don't think I need to explain that now. It depends mostly on the physical properties of the material. So there's not much you can do with it except for change the spot size. And there are other noise sources that are interesting and more relevant to exotic interferometers. For instance, photothermal noise tells you that a cryogenic interferometer won't work. Oh, let me show you. What we thought thermal noise is has changed a lot in the last 2 years, so I think it's worthwhile to measure it and get the theoretical quibbles out of the way. So here are cartoons of the LIGO 1 and 2 noise spectra. We use two materials primarily, fused silica and sapphire. Fused silica at best has a Q of about 10 to the 6th, and sapphire at best 10 to the 8th. So sapphire for LIGO 2 is going to have much lower Brownian motion. The problem is, what's the thermoelastic noise do? If the thermoelastic noise turns out to be higher than we expect it is, that's going to eat into our event rate. Can you see there's a light gray shade of the astrophysically interesting region here? So we need to make a measurement of thermoelastic noise. If it turns out that thermoelastic noise is a problem, there's a fallback plan for LIGO 2, and that's to use large fused silica mirrors, again, which might eat away at our event rate. But our measurements should let us make an intelligent decision as to which of these is going to be better. So I've designed an experiment called the thermal noise interferometer, which is going to look at thermal noise, thermoelastic noise fairly well from 100 hertz to a kilohertz, and shoves all the other technical noise sources down and away. Here's what the experiment looks like. It's got two arm cavities, much like LIGO. And our immediate goals are to measure thermal noise in fused silica mirrors, then in sapphire mirrors, and then look for other exotic noise sources. The way that it works is the arm interferometers are very short. They're about 1 centimeter. That means it has a large spot size. Sorry, other way around, has a small spot size, but the mirrors are still low noise. People have measured thermal noise in the past by smearing grease on mirrors, and we want to measure thermal noise without contaminating them that way. Basic primary interferometers, the way we see them, is light comes out of a laser, we put sidebands on it, the carrier can resonate in the cavity in either 0-0 or some higher order mode and go through, while the sidebands are completely reflected and interfere at a photodiode. And this is what's called the Poundriver-Hall error signal. You can see that on resonance, this is linear and proportional to changes in the cavity length. The interferometers we have a finesse of 60,000, so your average photon sticks around here 60,000 bounces before coming out, and a bandwidth of 8.3 picometers. This means that we have a dynamic range of measurement of about a picometer, and we'll have a resolution of about an attometer, which isn't bad for something in Pasadena. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and everything that's not shaded in gray is built. The general idea is that we have a first stage interferometer with a triangular mode cleaner to stabilize the laser frequency. Light coming out of that gets sidebands, is split, and goes into two arm cavities. The arm cavity mirrors are about that big around. Right now they're made of fused silica. And we take a differential measurement between the error signals of these two cavities. The idea is to leave us insensitive to common mode noise, such as laser frequency and intensity, and seismic noise. So you subtract those, and you think you have thermal noise. Near-term goals are to look at Brownian motion in fused silica mirrors. Very soon, as we get our sapphire mirrors, we're going to take those fused silica out, put sapphire in, and look at thermoelastic damping. And then we have programs to measure other noise sources in parallel. I'm borrowing this from Jim Hartle. started there. We're there right now. Here's the fused silica. And it turns out that if you want sapphire mirrors that are this big around in 2006, you have to So there's a hard and fast deadline that we have to be done with our measurements by June 4th, 2002, so that the LIGO design committee can decide which kind of mirrors start growing. And we're making up time pretty well here, so I can show you some lab pictures. These are Eric and Luca are the postdocs who work with me on the project. Seiji is a venerable veteran of the gravity wave wars from Tama, who commutes to help us, and that's me smiling on the right. This is our high-tech, non-computer control, button-pushing control room. You can see this is a television with a nice TEM00 spot. We have a laser that's right there. It kicks out 750 milliwatts. And cables and vacuum tubes strewn everywhere. We got luckier than Dennis. We're in this building is the place, the very spot where they ground the Palomar 200-inch telescope mirror. And it's the ground is made of cork. You don't even see the trucks driving by. We had a big earthquake in Palm Springs a couple years ago. I ran down to the lab, thought everything would be broken. They didn't even notice. This is what the mirrors look like. This is a big chunk of fused silica, weighs about 2 kilograms. It's got magnets glued on the back, and you see it's installed in the jig here. These are actuators that sense the mirror position and feed back at low frequency so it doesn't wander around too much and drop out of lock. And that's the end of my talk. At 1200 hertz? What do you mean dual recycling? Oh, the signal and
tuning. The question is, can one, I mean, what are the prospects for LIGO for tuning at any frequency between 600 and 1200 hertz and actually getting to the thermal limit?
Pretty good. Well, it's hard to tell with LIGO whether or not you've hit the thermal. Yeah, let's go with this picture. Whether or not you've hit the thermal limit because it just snakes in the bottom here and it's difficult to deconvolute from the other noise sources.
You want to go back to the
That one. So you're thinking, can we get down here and hit the thermal limit?
The question is it any harder to do this at 600 than at 1200?
Not really.
But you've got to go more narrow band. So I think some of your optics need to be better. You also don't know for sure. The thermoelastic noise curve is so firm, theoretically. You don't have to do an experiment with that.
Then the fighting words.
The Brownian noise is so flaky, theoretically, that I think it could be severely wrong. And I think that shows that the Brownian is cutting in at 1,000 hertz. It may cut in sooner. And we don't even know the slope of it. It's shown a slope that corresponds to what they call a structural noise model. But if it's a viscous noise model, it's a flat slope.
It's flat, yeah.
And we don't know which noise model really works.
And we don't know what the coating effect plays on it. There's a lot of...
So there's tremendous uncertainty in that one. And that's, at least for me, that's the real high importance of this experiment. Now, so that doesn't answer the question, but it says that the location of where that floor is, if you can get to it, you should regard it as quite serious and uncertain until things aren't really working. It's harder to go deeper because you have to go narrower band, you have to have better optics. But I have never heard them say that this was something they were really worried about. So I don't know the answer for sure.
Okay, anything else?
Okay, now let's thank Shanti again.